Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres. Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Ceed SW plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And it's Joe at RT.ie. As you know, we've been talking, women have been talking about the menopause for the last 3 days. We begin, there's many platforms. We're using a WhatsApp number. We're using staff in here. Some women don't want their voices to be identified. This is a letter from Mary.
Dear Joe, I am 70 years of age. I've had the most miserable life over the menopause. I used to enjoy sex until I started the menopause. And I'm not ashamed to say this, but I haven't had sex in 30-odd years. It finished my marriage because I had no interest whatsoever. I am still getting hot flushes. I have to plan ahead what to wear. It all has to be linen or cotton. Due to mind fog, I lost my job. I was an accountant and honestly, I couldn't think straight. Just to be able to wear clothes comfortably would be a dream come true for me. I would love a few years of some normality now. I will try anything. We didn't talk about this stuff 30 years ago and we just got on with it. But I have to try something to change this.
That was Mary, as read by Sinead. Carmel, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Your story, please.
Well, thank you for highlighting this issue. I describe menopause as waking up one morning, mm-hmm. and like an autoimmune disease, your body starts attacking itself. And not only is it mental, but it's physical. So there you are, this woman, all on your own, at war with yourself. And it's a very, very silent war. Mm-hmm. And I found, Joe, over the years, when I spoke to other women about menopause, they either blanked me as if to say, oh, no, we can't talk about menopause. Yes. Or number two, women were in denial, i.e., sorry, I'm too young to be going through the menopause. And it's, I feel now that menopause reflects the end of your life. You're no longer fertile. You're not going to have any more children, and you're automatically old. So you get menopause, and you're old woman.
Even though for most women, it happens when they're around 50, and that is the end of their lives.
The end of their lives, you're an old woman, step off the battlefield, and nobody is discussing it. And I suppose what happens is, it's the mental thing more than the physical thing. Mm-hmm. Your brain starts playing tricks with you. And can I give you an example?
Yeah, of course.
So I have, I'm at work and I see a colleague cutting a tomato, okay? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I don't like the way that colleague has cut that tomato. Okay. So I leave it, let it go, I say. I go home, I think about that tomato. And I might even mention it to my husband. And I'm sure he's saying, yeah, there's crazy balls again. Then I go to bed. Mm-hmm. And I'm exhausted. I'm absolutely exhausted. I go to bed. I get into bed, pull the covers over, and I'm just about to go into this beautiful deep sleep. When all of a sudden, bing, I've been put into a pizza oven at 500 degrees. And obviously, you put the leg out, put the arm out. Yeah. But guess what happens then? Because you can't sleep. Mm-hmm. What does the brain think about? The tomato. And you become obsessed about it, and you spend all night obsessing about it. And you wake up the next morning, you're over the tomato, but you'll move on to something else.
And in terms of help, Carmel, has anything worked for you?
Help as regards, I think the biggest help in the whole world is women talking about it, mm-hmm. I have to say. Because people go through different phases, and I haven't tried HRT, and I've tried to do it by myself. But I find women should talk to women about this. It is not a taboo subject anymore. Yes, it's embarrassing sometimes mm-hmm. for ladies, but it should no longer be embarrassing, and we should maybe try and put a bit of humour into it now.
And I presume, Carmel, I presume if you're having a hot flush, that mm-hmm. which doesn't at all describe what we've been hearing over the last few days, but that's the term that's used. If you're having a hot flush, would people in your workplace notice?
Well, because I discuss it among my colleagues, yes, they would, and you'd step out. But I've seen customers where my heart breaks for them, absolutely breaks, like one lady described yesterday, where the sweat is rolling down their foreheads and onto their eyelids, and they're blinking. It's a horrific thing to observe. Mm-hmm. And it must be horrific for women, as that lady would say, she can only wear cottons and linens.
Yeah.
Your whole life revolves around how you're going to dress. And when you get a hot flush, the way your neck and face flares up, it's embarrassing and it knocks your confidence. Of course it does. And you don't seem to join in with that fun anymore because you know you're going to get scorching hot if you exert yourself anyway.
And Carmen, you mentioned other women talking about it. When you say it to other women...
Yes.
What's the reaction?
I'm talking about maybe 4 years ago when I mentioned menopause. I got this blank stare as if, my God, how could you talk about menopause? Nobody talks about menopause. Just don't discuss it. The end.
Wow.
And especially, and then other women, which is quite funny, and I don't mean to be mean, but other women deny a menopause because they don't want to be branded as old. Menopause seems to think that you're an old woman now. And it's not nice.
Okay, stay with us, Carmel. By the way, the WhatsApp number, if you want to send us a voice message, just record a voice message for potential broadcast. Give us your name and phone number, which will not be broadcast, obviously. 087-1843-709. 087-1843-709. But the other numbers still are available. 1857-15815, joe@rte.ie. Helen, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good. You were listening, I think, to the first letter from Mary,
yes,
talking about not having sex in 30 years.
Yes. Well, I can't on myself. but I can say that, I think that when I was listening to it, that I just wanted to ask immediately on in the car when I was driving. I wanted to just say, Joe, ask the ladies... these experts about sex, because I'm 60 myself, and I just don't know. You know, are we supposed to be still hormonally, you know, still active, or, you know, and not that I'm not, and I know, I could say, like, you know, I'm asking for a friend, you know, you know, jokingly, you know, but it's true, it's at 60. It's like, are hormones affecting us that way, and, or is it something else, you know?
And does your friend want to know, does my libido go?
Yeah, exactly.
And like, if my libido goes at a young age of 60, is that normal?
That's exactly
and
what
common,
I'm just saying.
Uncommon. Okay.
Yeah. What's the general, you know, perspective on this? Because when I was 45, mm-hmm, I went into the doctor and I was just, like, getting the hot flushes. And he said to me, and I was still on weight now, I was always a thin person and very active. And I was fine. I went into him and he said, he just took one look and he said, you're a middle-aged woman. And, you know, I actually didn't realise at 45 I was. I know, I suppose, that's middle age.
Is it?
That's annoying. Yeah. My God, do you know what? It just hit me like a ton of bricks. He said to me,
okay, Helen, your line is breaking on me, unfortunately. We will get it back. We will get it back and we will answer that question. As you say, you're asking for a friend, but we will have a medic on in a few minutes. So please stay with us. These are some of the calls we voice messages we've got on WhatsApp. And this is a woman describes the effect on work and vaginal atrophy. And she's talking to us next.
I was 50 years of age, about 7 years ago when I started. Started with very, very heavy bleeding during periods where I, every half an hour, would have to remove myself from my customer service desk and change sanitation. It was almost impossible to work. But how do you explain to an employer that I'm bleeding very intensely here, you know, for months and months on end? The hot sweat since then, the brain fog. One of the worst symptoms now would be the vaginal atrophy. That started out with not being able to urinate properly. My wee running down the insides of my legs every time I would go to the loo. Can you imagine how you would keep yourself clean? The middle of the night, having to shower down, change your pajamas before you get back into bed. The menopause should be put on every school curriculum so that not only women, but every young man out there knows at home what his mother is going through, what his grandmother has got, is going through or has gone through, so that when he becomes a partner to somebody, that he knows exactly what is going on. My son, thankfully, 20-something, has discussed it with his friends openly, because they are now in a situation where they're talking to each other about how their mothers are affected. And I think it's wonderful that young men are, because otherwise we've been treated like we are non-existent citizens, that we're just expected to get on with our lives every day as normal.
Thank you so much for that. Dr. Deirdre Lundy is from the Irish College of General Practitioners and is in charge of GP training in sexual and reproductive health. In other words, she trains the trainers. Deirdre, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for letting me on, Joe.
And thanks for participating. Just do you want to begin with Helen's question, which is, she's 60,
yeah.
Young. And she wants to know about your sex drive and the menopause.
That's a really good question. So the answer to her is she's not unusual. A lot of people, a lot of women find that their sex drive is affected poorly by menopause. And it can be different. It can come from different sources. So when your ovaries at first become unpredictable in their hormone release and then eventually peter out altogether, mm-hmm. you don't just lose estrogen and progesterone, you actually lose more male hormone, more types of male hormone than you do estrogen and progesterone. So androgen levels go down in menopause, and a lot of women won't get their sex drive back unless we also replace testosterone in addition to replacing estrogen and progesterone, and that is standard procedure in menopause care. So yes, she very much can be helped if that's something she's interested in, of course.
Okay. Deirdre, is in your training of GPs, mm-hmm. do they do placements in maternity hospitals or...
You know, it was optional that you would do 6 months maternity care, obs-gyne, mm-hmm. but it was more obs than gyne, if you know what I mean. And then the other difficulty is there's no menopause care in a maternity hospital, so you're not going to get an opportunity to learn about menopause and hormones in your GP training and your undergraduate training. And really, if you're lucky, and you really do have to be lucky, it'll happen in the second 2 years, where you're placed with a colleague GP, a senior yeah. GP, and some of them are wonderful women's health providers, and others outsource it. So you can be very blessed, or you could be very unlucky.
Okay, and well, that's surprising, but it's not surprising in terms of the stories we've been hearing that medics don't seem to be. In the main, you cannot label everybody, but the women are crying out for more information from medics. And then that last message there, that long voice message, which was very, very powerful, and she ended up talking about her son, who's now 27, talking to his friends about the menopause. But she talked about the effect on work and vaginal atrophy. I presume is that a common...
Okay, well, we'll do the vaginal atrophy first, okay? So we don't call it that anymore. We call it genitourinary syndrome of the menopause.
Okay.
And basically what it is as you age, the blood vessels that supply oxygen and nutrients to the pelvic floor, the vulva, the clitoris, the vaginal wall, become less numerous and smaller.
Okay.
So even women who are on systemic hormones, like, say, HRT patches or gels or pills, will still have local vaginal symptoms that are not alleviated. And the only way to fix that is by putting estrogen in the vagina. It goes directly to the target organ. And that form of hormone therapy is probably the only form of HRT that everybody is allowed to use for indefinite amounts of time. Because sadly, if your vaginal symptoms start in your early menopause, as you age, they will just get worse and worse and worse. So if you have vaginal symptoms in the 40s and 50s, you absolutely should be on estrogen for the vagina, and you should stay on it indefinitely. No limit. No limit. The other symptoms, what we were talking about before, what was the other lady? Her son and talking about the menopause. I can't remember now.
But she was talking generally. Well, I can give you... one other woman says, nothing is working for me.
Yeah.
What do I do for her?
Well, you see... I think one of the reasons why general practice doesn't always embrace HRT and menopause care, like it is the main, it's not the only thing I do, but it's the main thing I do in clinical practice, and it is time consuming and exhausting. It really is, because, you know, if a person came in with a, say, God forbid, they had a symptom and it turned out they had high blood pressure or diabetes or something, you would say, oh gosh, we've picked this up, here's the treatment, and that would be pretty much the end of the discussion. You don't, it's not a discretionary medicine. If you've got diabetes, you need diabetes drugs. You don't get to say, well, I don't like that one, I want to try that one, you know. Whereas with HRT, because menopause care tends to be very discretionary, meaning the woman is involved in picking her treatments and her care, it's very time-consuming. So general practice is on its absolute knees, is burnout like we've never experienced before, and pandemic has done nothing to help that. So you can imagine why, if you're not well, if you're not that comfortable with discussing hormones and the rules and regulations surrounding them, you may throw your eyes up to heaven and think, oh, cripes, menopause. You know what I mean? Like, that's not to forgive it, absolutely. It's to, but that's probably why not everyone gets the full complement of care they're entitled to at their GP. But there's loads of us. Like, I'm one of an absolute army of GPs who are specially trained in sexual reproductive health care, including menopause. But, like, if you have a medical card and you can't afford to go for alternative care, what are you going to do? We have no hospital-based menopause clinics anymore. We used to 20 years ago. The only clinic I'm aware of at the moment is the one that myself and Dr. Kathy Allen run in Hollis Street, and that's only a brand-new service that's exclusively for the horrendous situation when women start to experience menopause symptoms in their 20s and 30s. So that's called premature menopause or premature ovarian failure, and that is a free clinic that's you can be referred to by your GP. But that's the only one that I'm aware of, hospital-based menopause care HRT prescribing clinic, which is heartbreaking.
Okay, thanks. Dr. Deirdre Lundy is going to stay with us, hopefully. Helen, what type of answers did you get when you asked about the symptoms?
Well, originally when I went in, the doctor said to me, he said, you're a middle-aged woman. And that was it. He didn't say...
At 45?
And he just, as I say, like, live with it. Turns out I had a thyroid problem.
Okay.
And they both things seem to be mixed up together, so that the symptoms seem to be quite similar in a way. And anyway, he didn't do anything for me, no. And he never... he said I couldn't have HRT.
You couldn't?
No, because of the thyroid. He didn't actually even offer it to me. He said there was nothing to be done. You have a thyroid problem, and it's more important to sort that out, he said.
And did he sort it out?
I ended up with I ended up with thyroid cancer, to be honest, and I had a lot of treatment for it. But they just completely ignored the other bit altogether, because they just prioritised the thyroid cancer, and I was to just... I mean, I do understand that was really important.
Yeah, of course.
And vital, but they never addressed the other problem as such.
But Dr. Lundy said they can address it.
Yes, nobody ever said a word since. No, it never... It was just dismissed entirely.
Okay. I hope you're emboldened by what you're hearing, not just from the medics, but from other women as well, Helen. And Helen, thanks indeed. This is another message we got on WhatsApp, and we played this before the break.
Joe, hi. I've tried everything, the patch, the gel, the tablets. I've had terrible side effects with those, and that they're almost about as bad as having the Huffalicious, which I get a lot. I wonder, does anybody have the same experience? HRT hasn't really worked for me, but I'm going through a really bad menopause at the same time. And I agree with everybody, the doctors are not as helpful as they should be. But certainly, even the natural route, I find it all, either it sets my tummy or gives me terrible flu symptoms. That's the medication, or the HRT. Anyway, I just wondered if anybody else had side effects from the HRT, not around the cancer scare, around everything else that I've said here, flu, all that kind of thing. Okay, thank you, bye.
Thanks indeed. And Dr. Lundy, the side effects of HRT?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's part of the problem, isn't it? You know, if you have some really life-limiting disease like high blood pressure or diabetes, you don't really get to complain about side effects. It's like, take it or don't, you know. But but that is part of the problem. Like, in an ideal world, I would love to have a situation where straightforward menopausal women who respond really easy to simple forms of HRT are looked after in general practice, and then patients like your last caller there could come to a specialty service for people like, I'm one of a handful of Irish doctors that's recognized by the British Menopause Society as an expert in menopause care, and those kind of women should be seen by people like us, if you know what I mean. Whereas the commoner garden, like the majority of the women I've been listening to over the last 2 days, could easily have been sorted out in general practice if there had been, you know, education and time and finance behind promoting menopause as well as other women's health issues in primary care. But in 2015, the UK government published this nice guidelines on menopausal care, and it said, all of these skills are well within the remit of general practice. You do not need to go to a gynecologist or a hospital to get care for your menopause. And it laid down actually kind of rigid guidelines, but definitely guidelines for GPs. So for someone to say to someone, oh, you can have HRT or you shouldn't have HRT is absolutely wrong, wrong, wrong.
Okay, and NICE, by the way, is the National Institute for
Clinical and healthcare excellence. Just it's a government body. It's an NHS body, but we don't have a similar body here. So Irish GPs would frequently look at, or quote, NICE guidelines say this, NICE guidelines say that, and NICE guidelines say GPs should be doing menopause. But that's easy to say when GPs, you know, GPs are working 70, 80 hours a week. Yeah. They can't get a locum. They can't get a holiday. They can't go on maternity leave. Like, they're on their knees. So I see both. You know what I mean? I see the good and the bad of it. And I don't know what the solution is. I have my own little hope, which is I would like to see nurses embrace menopausal care. And my goal in Holly Street, don't tell Professor Higgins, I haven't told him yet, is that I would like to see advanced nurse practitioners being trained up in menopausal care, so that they can counsel and advise and prescribe for this absolute army of menopausal women, many of whom have been on the radio the last few days.
Let's hear one more Caroline before the break.
Hi, Joe. It's Caroline here from Limerick, and it's just so refreshing to hear this topic finally being covered on the national airways. I'm now 55 and have been going through the menopause since I was 47. And when I finally realized what I thought was wrong with me and I Googled the symptoms, I think at the time I actually had all of the 19 symptoms that showed up on Dr. Google. And it has just been an absolute horrific time because the symptoms keep changing. And you actually think you're going crazy at times. Your family members think that you're going crazy. You find yourself crying at the drop of a hat. Losing your temper. It's just like the aches and pains, the insomnia, the feeling of worthlessness and the memory loss. I mean, everything that all the other women are relating with today, it's just it seems like as this is never going to be ending.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul, with a range up to 452 kilometres.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
We're talking about menopause. We're hearing from women directly on the line. We're hearing through emails. We're hearing through WhatsApp voice messages as well. This is a letter we received.
Dear Joe, I got the menopause at 27 and it has destroyed my whole life. I'm writing to ask if it's possible to make this appeal to young women in their 20s and 30s on my behalf. If you feel your mood changing, your energy levels depleting, please, I beg you to get your hormone levels checked. I'm crying just writing this, and I will never be able to speak about it because it still breaks my heart every day, 25 years on. When I was 27 years old, I started to experience significant and unusual bleeding. I reported it immediately to my doctor, who gave me iron tablets and dismissed it, saying, "It will settle down." It continued on and off for 3 years. more iron tablets and more dismissal of my concerns. It was just after my 30th birthday when I was finally diagnosed with the early menopause. This meant I could never have a child. I could never have the life I imagined. I dreamed of a big family, and every day since then, I mourned the life I never had. Please, please ask women in their 20s and 30s to please never give up demanding for a diagnosis if they experience any unusual symptoms. Menopause can strike at any age. Don't be fobbed off and told you're too young. If you feel you're not being listened to, go to another doctor. It has destroyed my whole life.
That was Rachel. Marie Neville is on the line. Marie, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good. At what age were you when the menopause was surgical menopause?
Yeah, so mine's a little bit different to the lady we just listened to. So I was diagnosed with cervical cancer. And I was diagnosed kind of beginning of last year. And basically, between the radiation and chemo and everything, I went into surgical menopause then because my ovaries basically got zapped by radiation. Mm. So they stopped working. I finished treatment in July and I started getting like the hot flushes and all this kind of stuff in September, October. And I just didn't know what was going on. No one had kind of said, this is, you know, what's going to happen. They said maybe my ovaries might not work, but they never said this is like, you know, symptoms you're going to experience or anything like that. So it was quite scary at the time, you know.
And you're very young. And now I see you say I was diagnosed with cervical cancer last year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I suppose a lot of my symptoms as well, like I'm 29 now, but a lot of my symptoms are still from the radiation because, you know, radiation doesn't stop working the second you finish. It'll keep going. So I'm having symptoms from the menopause, but I also have symptoms from the actual treatment I had as well.
And what's ahead of you insofar as you know, Marie?
Yeah, well, I suppose I'm lucky in that my oncologist, the second I started having the symptoms and I went up to them, he put me onto HRT immediately.
Okay.
So I have been lucky, you know, but I do have medical training. I'm a veterinary nurse. I know it's animals, it's a little bit different, but I still will fight for myself. I won't allow myself, you know, a doctor fob me off or anything like that. So if I have an issue, we're going to find out what it is. And I won't, you know, I'll do my own research and stuff as well. But my doctor was great. He was like, you know, HRT is going to protect your bones going forward, your brain and everything, so you will be going on it because the benefits outweigh the risks of it, basically. But just talking, I know one of the women was talking about testosterone there. I asked my gynecologist for testosterone, and she basically said I would transition into a man. She didn't understand it at all, you know. So there's a lot of doctors out there that just don't know enough about it at all.
You wouldn't transition into a man because you're deficient in it. That's the reason.
Exactly. And that's what I said. I said it's not a high dose of it. It's a small dose. It's enough to replace what I'm not making. And she just couldn't understand it. You know, to her, she was like, "But you'll turn into a man." And it was crazy. I left the appointment laughing. You know, and I'm lucky again. I know I can go to my oncologist, and I know that they'll give it to me. I'm still not on it yet. But I will get it, you know.
Okay, here's another caller. Stay with us, Marie, and we'll talk to Dr. Lundy again. But this is a caller talking about early onset post hysterectomy.
I had a hysterectomy when I was 29 and discharged after major surgery and no follow up. And for many years, I just got on with the young children and never thought any more of anything and just fought depression and anxiety and no libido and aches and pains. And in my late 30s, I went back to do a degree and I couldn't concentrate, brain fog, panicky. So I wasn't sleeping well, severe migraines. Went to the GP, but there was a locum doctor there who decided to do bloods. And she rang me the next day to tell me that I had no oestrogen, that the one ovary I had left, the other one was taken with the hysterectomy, had stopped working, and she didn't know how I had been coping up to that stage. She put me on some hormone replacement, which did help for a while. But my doctor decided at a later stage, a few years later, to take me off them to say that they were too risky. I got through it myself as best I could, but my quality of life has not been great as a woman. No relationship, really. No drive in me at all. Work has suffered as well. I'm only 56 now, and I feel like I'm 76. Only for my children and the grandchildren now, it's what gets me up and keeps me going and focused. But it's still no quality for me, for my life, for me as a person and a woman. And no one is accountable. No one cares. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Grania Fowler. Grania, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
Your experience, please.
I'm in surgical menopause. I had my ovaries removed, and I actually had a double mastectomy as well because I'm at very high risk of breast and ovarian cancer. And I guess the thing that I had to do, I had a lot of warning about this. I did loads and loads of research. So I knew about surgical menopause. I knew what was waiting for me, and I knew the experiences of other women had not been good. Surgical menopause is like menopause on steroids. Everything is more intense because one day you have hormones and the next day you have absolutely none. There's no sort of gradual decline. And yeah, my body doesn't make any estrogen or progesterone or testosterone at all. So I had to go to massive lengths to kind of get my own house in order. You know, I looked for Irish experts who I could talk to, really didn't find anybody, had to go to London, went and saw somebody who sort of recommended the hormones that I'm on now. And then I had to go and sort myself out with a prescription, fill the prescription. My surgeon was great, and he did mention HRT and that kind of thing, but his advice wasn't good enough. It wouldn't have worked for me at the age I was. I was 40. I'm 42 now. And the thing is, like, because I guess I got all of that advice and I did all that stuff for myself, I had a really good experience. I feel completely normal. My body makes no hormones. I am on HRT, okay. And I feel no different. I have never had a hot flush. My sex drive is fine. Everything is good.
Great.
But I had to, the money.
I'm going to say that, Grania, it cost you a lot of money.
Oh, my God, a lot of money. And it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. You should be able to go to your GP or actually, I'm delighted to hear Dr. Lundy on because everything she's saying, I was going, yes, yes, yes. She's absolutely right. But I think there is this idea that women should just live with it. And there's an idea among women that once you're postmenopausal, that you should just kind of, it's a level of stuff that you just have to put up with. And I thought that as well. I went into this surgery really believing that my life, quality of life, would be less than what it was before the surgery, but my risk of ovarian cancer was so high. And I have a cousin who died of it, and it was so awful. But then the most pleasant realization that this stuff was working and that I was fine. And 2 years down the line, I'm grand. I feel like I've skipped menopause. So it's possible, you know?
Yeah,
but the lack of knowledge is just infuriating, and it's not fair.
Okay, well said, Grania. Susan Donlan, you listen to Grania there. The financial angle, just talk about that for a start. Because every woman goes through the menopause. It's half the population. But they now have to, the majority of them have to pay heavy for any treatment they might be lucky enough to find or get.
That's it, Joan. Thanks for having me on. That's the angle I want to take today because my story is, in fact, very similar to a lot of women. You know, I spent a lot of time being referred to specialist after specialist before I ever got a diagnosis of perimenopause and, sent to different consultants, psychiatrists, dentists, physiotherapists, you name it, with MRIs and CT scans and prescription medication that I never needed. Such a waste of financial resources for myself and my own time, but also in the Irish healthcare system. But what I find quite shocking, and it's similar to the period poverty campaign as well, is that it's really shocking that women have to pay for our menopausal healthcare and our medication when this is something that occurs so naturally to our bodies and our minds and our lives. And, I'd really like women to take a stand on that as well. You know, it's very natural to us, but yet we have to carry the burden financially as well as in terms of our health, our quality of life.
And can I ask you, Susan, are you able financially to afford private healthcare?
I am. I'm very lucky, Joe. I have private health insurance. Okay. But, of course, I have to pay for that private health insurance.
Course,
and then, obviously, it doesn't cover all the costs.
Yeah, and you know? Even if you can afford it, a lot of people are stretched because they feel they've no option. But, Susan, does it cover menopause medication, menopause care?
Absolutely not. And this is the thing. I've never seen menopause mentioned in any of the policies, any of the health insurance policies. And if there is one, please, somebody ring in and let us know. But my current policy, and it's one that's recommended for me for my age, I'm aged 48.
Okay.
It covers maternity care. Maternity care. I don't want maternity care. I want menopause care.
At 48, of course you do.
Of course I do. Absolutely and totally. So, you know, we need to take a stand on that as well, you know. But I'd love to see the likes of HICWA, you know, doing some sort of health technology assessment as they do for other healthcare requirements to look at, to determine, I suppose, and inform decisions about free healthcare relating to menopause. I'll bet you if we did get all our GPs trained up properly and we saved so much time and money within the Irish healthcare service, instead of sending, you know, women off to all these different consultants when it's actually menopause that they're in, I bet the money we save from that would actually provide us with the free healthcare that we need.
Very good care. Doctor, very good point. Dr. Lundy, Dr. Deirdre Lundy of the Irish College of General Practitioners and specialising this area. How do I get to see you, Dr. Lundy, if I'm a public patient?
Because I'm so mouthy and I'm always doing GP training, there is a kind of a trend that when the GP is faced with a menopausal patient, they just give them my practice information.
Mm-hmm.
And I really can't see all the women. I just can't. I don't own the practice. I'm there on a salary. I'm only one human being. I don't think the goal is for people to come to me as private patients. I think the goal is, as the haulers have been saying, it is to demand that the HSE, the Department of Health, recognize the need for all forms of women's health, but particularly menopausal care, funding and support, both in hospitals and general practice, because there's a huge unmet need. And as that last lady said, like, it's grand if you can afford to do a phone, like a menopause specialist UK phone consultation could run you £200 or £300. In Ireland, it's certainly going to cost you maybe 80 or 100 euro at the very least, or maybe double that for a half an hour of a doctor's time, because that's how much they would have made with other patients privately, you know,
during
that they have
that
to devote.
Time. Okay,
yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So it's prohibitively expensive for people who are of limited means. And wouldn't it be lovely if we had supported, financed care? But that's just not the way it is at the moment, and it's unfair. It's grossly unfair. And particularly the callers about the premature menopause,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
If you're over 40 and your hormones start to become fluctuant and then eventually drop down, you are going to feel it and you're not going to be happy about it. But if you are under 40 when you go through hormone deprivation, your life, your longevity is at risk. Your risk of heart disease,
mm-hmm.
stroke, osteoporotic fracture complications, and deaths from that are astronomically high if you don't get hormone replacement. So to be in the menopause young, like those callers, is a health crisis and absolutely has to be addressed urgently with menopause therapies. It's not a discretionary medicine at that stage. It is imperative that those young women with the BRCA mutation or cancer therapies where they lose their ovaries, or even a hysterectomy can sometimes undermine the vascular supply to the ovary and cause an early menopause experience. All those women have to be treated, and they're not. Yeah.
Thank you. Only two women now describe going through all the various symptoms and trying everything.
Hi, Joe. I am 58 years of age. I'm going through the menopause this past 20 years. Any function, family get-togethers, could not go. Anything I had to go through, I would make sure I had to sit at the end of the table. The sweats were absolutely unbelievable. I'm still going through it. I have tried everything. Tablets, patches, HRT, everything. Nothing would make any difference to me. I thank God now it's easing a little bit, but I went through desperate time for the last 20 years.
I had a myriad of symptoms, like all of the women that have phoned in. Just hot flushes, can't sleep, depression, sore joints. I thought I was pregnant. I didn't understand that missed periods was a sign of menopause. In this day and age, shouldn't happen. That should just be common knowledge, because all we ever think about is hot flushes. I went for a pregnancy test. Scan, because I was convinced I was pregnant. I wasn't. I broke my leg 2 years ago because my bones are in such a bad state. My mother had osteoporosis, never really associated that. Thought I just broke my leg because I broke my leg. The break was severe. I was off for 5 months in a full cast. That shouldn't have happened had I have been on HRT. It wouldn't have happened. Anyway, the list is endless. Depression, apathy, anxiety. Oh, it's an awful place. And I think all those symptoms are the ones that you just don't associate with menopause. And I think that is where there is huge, huge issues. The issue of information. It should be taught in the workplace. It should be taught alongside periods at school. It should be easily accessible, up-to-date, relevant information.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And now from the man's perspective, this is a letter we received.
Our marriage broke up when my wife went into menopause. I tried to do everything for her. Went for counselling. She wouldn't seek help. After the counselling, she started abusing me. I begged her not to let it happen. And then she said she wanted out. We had three beautiful daughters. We both worked hard for them. Now, she was a great mother and a wife. This needs to be talked about. A lot of couples are breaking up at this stage of their lives, unfortunately. We were 30 years together. I think, Joe, you need a counsellor to talk about this side of it, to educate men on this as well.
And the education issue, Deirdre, is coming up again and again and again.
I know.
It really is.
It's heartbreaking. And I'll tell you, I mean, you may not be interested, but the history of it is this. In 2002, an American study that was it was powered to look at whether or not giving HRT to every menopausal woman would in future reduce the amount of aging and disease and death. It was called the WHI, and it used old-fashioned products. I'm sure you'd heard the ladies talk about Premarin, which is pregnant mare's urine estrogen, and they gave it to women between, say, 50 and 80 years of age in quite high doses to see whether or not it would prevent things like osteoporosis and heart disease and premature death and aging. And the amazing thing is, in spite of the fact that it was a very poor quality form of HRT, it actually did do a lot of good. But they found a tiny, and I mean tiny, link in the women who were on the estrogen with the progestogen, and they used a really toxic old-school form of progestogen as well, with regard to breast cancer. So instead of 23 in 1,000, your risk of breast cancer on estrogen and progestogen went to 27 in 1,000, which is tiny relative to the impact that, say, drinking alcohol or being overweight has. But what that did was, when they published it, in such an alarmist way that if you said menopause HRT to anybody over the last 20 years, they'd say, breast cancer, back to you. Under no circumstances does estrogen HRT cause breast cancer. There are some forms of breast cancer that are hormone receptor sensitive. If you feed them with a sufficiency of hormone, they may grow quicker, but it doesn't cause the disease. But as a result of that, really, some women said it was a bad study. It was actually quite skewed study.
It was mentioned, I think, within 5 minutes of us. And it was mentioned in the same context that you were mentioning it. This is the one that it seems a lot of medics are relying on, but it's been challenged, to say the least, and outdated.
It's outdated because we don't use we shouldn't be using horse urine HRT, but do you believe that's still the market leader in the Republic of Ireland, which I found shocking. So nowadays we use what we call body identicals, which are pharmacy prescribable forms of HRT that are molecularly similar to the ovary of a female's natural estrogen, natural progesterone, you know. And the data for those for the benefits versus the risk for those products is much, much better, much kinder. So there virtually isn't a person in the world who couldn't try HRT if they wanted to. But I think what happened was during the last 20 years, you couldn't give HRT away because everybody thought it gave you breast cancer, which it absolutely does not do. So I think GPs de-skilled because there was no demand. Then in 2015, when NICE came along and said, lads, there's an unmet army of need out there. You must treat menopausal symptoms. Not only are women suffering unnecessarily, but we're seeing early onset of heart disease and osteoporosis, things that could have totally been prevented if we had offered hormone maintenance therapies. Now, all of a sudden, HRT is a good thing, but then the de-skilling has already taken place, and we need to start to upskill again.
And the equivalent of NICE in Ireland.
We don't have one. We have the medicines. I mean, the HPRA asked me to look into the recommendations around menopause, but that's a long time ago. I think one of the callers mentioned that it hadn't been updated in, Janie, I'm doing this 35 years. I think that could have been 8 or 9 years ago. I'm not sure.
But we've no equivalent to the National Institute for Health and Care Excellence in the UK, NICE as it's called, here in Ireland.
No. There's nobody in Ireland that says, all right, doctors, these are the rules, these are recommendations.
Is that not the HSE?
They don't have a specific department that gives guidance to general practice, no. No. I'd love to know about it.
NICE guidelines have been mentioned a lot. Would you be happy for them to be replicated?
I would love to see that. Now, NICE, you have to remember, NICE is commissioned by the NHS, and it's as much looking at cost effectiveness as it is about good medicine. So they would put rules and regulations, or they would give it recommendations that I, like me and a lot of other specialists, would say, I don't think so. You know, so like they say stuff about HRT. They say, use the lowest dose for the shortest amount of time. And I'm like, now, wait a minute. The lowest effective dose is what you really mean. You use the dose that the woman requires.
Okay.
The shortest amount of time, what do you mean shortest amount of time? It depends on the woman. If she's still symptomatic 10 years later, 15 years later, she stays on HRT. I'm on HRT myself 18 years. They're going to have to pry it out of my cold, dead hand, like one of your callers said yesterday, because while I'm on it, my risk of heart disease is 50% reduced. I'm almost completely protected against osteoporotic fracture and complications arising thereof, and most importantly, I feel good. I can work. I have energy. Yeah, I'm the radiant goddess at a menopause, as my colleague Dr. Nicola Cochran calls me all the time. You know, so but that's my choice.
Yeah,
and
but
did
you
get,
I mentioned this yesterday again. Given that in the current vernacular, which we've all become unfortunately so familiar with in the last year or so, the last 15 months because of the pandemic. One of the things that, the benefits far outweigh the risks.
For most women, absolutely.
But isn't that, I know they're saying that about vaccines, but isn't that the same about HRT?
Absolutely.
In spades. Yeah.
Absolutely. There's only, I never met a drug. Can I prescribe other medicines? I run coil clinics in the 3 Dublin hospitals, and I do a lot of other clinical stuff as well. But I've never met a medicine as benign as the patches and the gel estrogen, insofar as, you know, you could kill a person with a prescription for a Panadol, but you actually could, it's very hard to do serious harm. Now, that's not to say that some people don't get horrendous side effects.
Mm-hmm.
It's very individualized. And I don't take anything away from the women who called, who got a terrible flare-up of their endometriosis or their migraine. So there is an art form to prescribing and managing HRT. I completely accept that. But as far as life and death dangerous, HRT is not dangerous. Not the new stuff, not the bioidenticals that come in gels and patches and creams and things like that. The old school horse urine, you got to be careful with that.
And repeat that the product leader for treatment of women in Ireland for HRT.
Yeah, I'm informed. You see, I don't have access to this data.
Okay.
But some of my buddies in pharmaceutical business do. And they say that, you know, when they have a form of HRT that they are marketing, they have access to sales in pharmacies around the Republic of Ireland. And Premarin products like horse urine are still, they're the number one prescribed in the entire United States, would you believe? Like, it's in Europe for the most part, we've dismissed them and said, no, we want human hormone. Thank you very much. Exactly, you know, not equine hormone. But it's amazing how many people still get put on Premarin and Prempac and things like that in the Republic of Ireland when I won't say that their use has it's been discredited, but it certainly is not the first-line treatment for the discerning menopausal patient. Absolutely not.
In 2021.
Yeah.
This is Fionnuala on Hot Flushes.
Fionnuala. Hi, Joe. My name is Fionnuala. I'm now 56 years of age. I had a hysterectomy when I was 34. And I was thrown into the menopause overnight. I have battled and battled my way through hot flushes that just cannot be described badly enough. I'd be at meetings in work. Rivers ran down my face and down my back. My clothes were wet. Yet I had to wear a jacket to try and keep myself covered. Generally, I would be at meetings with men. My hair would get wet. I just could feel the heat from the person next to me, even though we wouldn't be sitting that close. It was a nightmare, and that could be two or three of those flushes per hour.
I just want to thank the women who are doing those voice messages. I cannot imagine how difficult the menopause is for so many women, but also how difficult it would be to sit there and speak into your phone to send record a voice message and then send it on to us. But the reason we've set this line up, 087 18 43 709, the reason we set it up is that we were the response has been overwhelming, and we didn't want to be overwhelmed, and we're not overwhelmed, just as the message coming from so many women is the effects of menopause can be overwhelming. But now please do not be overwhelmed, because there's so much help. There is so much help and connectivity out there now, and it's an occasion to highlight it. Sharon, good afternoon. No, Louise, I'll come to you next, Sharon, I promise. Louise, you were 47, 10% got severe symptoms. Menopause, yeah.
Yeah, hi Joe, I'm actually 47 now.
Okay.
But this all kicked off for me just before my 41st birthday.
Okay.
I have been working for 20 years as a medical professional. I've had to leave. Symptoms were so severe for me. It started for me with basically severe nausea. I was spinning 24/7, like I was on a bloody merry-go-round 24/7, losing weight, insomnia, anxiety, digestive. I had everything. I've had the absolute gauntlet. Where I'm probably in the minority is I needed a HRT, but the HRT was making me sicker because basically I have histamine intolerance. And for anyone that has that, when you increase your estrogen, it increases the histamine. So I'm basically 5 years going to every doctor, every consultant I could find, neurologist, gynecologist, psychiatrist, everybody here in Ireland, and really getting nowhere. I was basically labelled with an anxiety disorder or psychosomatic and left. And I'll be honest with you, I had had my third child at 47 months before this happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the other ladies on there, I was a doer. I was working full-time. I was on call. I had three kids, full of life, very positive person. And basically the rug was just ripped from beneath me. I had to have my 80-year-old parents move in to mind my kids and me, may I add. For the first 2 years, I was in every A&E in Dublin with different symptoms, thinking I was actually dying. I actually liked other people there. I actually, one of the days in the bed, I was born crying. I said to my husband, I actually wish I didn't wake up. And my husband is great. I am blessed with him. Mm-hmm. He basically cried. He never cries, and he was born and crying with me. Because, Joe, you're on your own. You are left, while you're so sick, to try and figure it out yourself. And when you feel the doors are closed to you and there is no hope, and I mean that, I was hopeless. I was ready to go to the UK when I basically read an article somewhere with Loretta Dignam in the Menopause Hub.
Yeah.
I went to her, and things started changing. It was Dr. Deirdre Lundy that you had on earlier. Yeah. I saw her. I've moved with her to Bray. Not to say the menopause hub is fabulous, but I'm a very complicated patient. Mm-hmm. Even she was like, yes, you're very complex. But she was the first doctor that I met that said, I will help you. Yes, Louise, this is perimenopause. Now, I'm still going through it. I'm still not stable just because of my other issues. Mm-hmm. But through the Irish Menopause Facebook page,
yeah.
Sally Ann and Claire, that's when my histamine was actually recognised, and I am now through a UK consultant who consults with Deirdre for me, and I'm making strides. Now, I'm still not anywhere near where I was, but I can function daily. And for the moment, that's good enough for me. But that's what has happened to me. My whole life, as I know it, was ripped from beneath me. I had a 7-month-old baby, a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old. I could not function. And I actually did. I wanted to die. But I didn't want to leave my family or my children. But I just did not, couldn't continue like this. And that's what I said. I don't want to be here like this. I don't want my children to see me like this. This is not a mother to me. This is not me. And it wasn't me, you know. And it's just so difficult. So there's no awareness. And in saying that, my GP did try to help me because she knows me, knows I was the type of person. If I had my leg cut off, I'd still be going to work. I was complete, loved my job, all of that. And she helped me, but she was limited. She didn't have the knowledge. And there isn't enough knowledge or support here in Ireland. So thank you from me and my family for putting this on for the last 3 days and the awareness. And I really hope it will help hundreds, if not thousands, of ladies, because I was one that could easily have been a statistic. And I couldn't function.
Okay. And Louise, you mentioned the consultant in the UK. Again, all this confluence of this perfect storm. People mentioned the other day about how they can't get an appointment because of COVID.
No.
Did Brexit affect it?
Yes, it has. I was lucky I got to see my consultant pre-Brexit.
Okay.
So, to be honest, she works with me. And it actually was COVID was a blessing for me because I didn't have to travel.
Yeah.
Through Zoom, I actually emailed this consultant and similar one I sent into your show where I said, please help me, help me. Brilliant. I can't take any more.
Well,
she basically set an appointment up for me pre her busy day the following week and saw me. And she actually cried on the Zoom with me. I have never met a consultant so empathetic, so genuine. You don't feel like you're a problem. They don't want to see you. You know, here she comes again. Here's the one, you know, we've given you this. You should be better. I was basically told by one menopause specialist when I went back and I had severe nausea and I said, I can't, I'm sicker on this. I was told, you should be back in work. You've obviously got an anxiety problem. Just go back to work. And that was it. So it's I don't know. There's quite a limited knowledge. Even with menopause specialists, some of them, I'm not all of them, some of them are amazing. I think if you have issues like I have with histamine and it also transpired, I had another mast cell, which they're linked in together. I am probably the minority, probably the 1%, to be honest. So I don't mind that, but just even a bit of empathy, Joe, when you're going to these where you're thinking, look, I can't help you, but let's try and find someone that can, not to be told you're going mad. I was actually told I should go into an institution for a few weeks, that I needed a break. I said, like other ladies, I don't want to go on antidepressants. Yeah. It was actually one psychiatrist I saw. I said, Louise, you don't have mental health problems. She said, there is something off in your body. They can't find it. But, you know, she said, this is how people end up, women particularly, on polypharma, on antidepressants. I actually took the antidepressants. I had an allergic reaction to them. And I couldn't tolerate them, but they did nothing for me. So I knew this wasn't the problem. You know, awareness is what's needed and education. And I have a daughter myself, and I worry, like others, that they'll go through. But they won't, because we're aware, the parents are aware, we know what's going on. But it should be out there. It should be in schools. Yeah.
And you are educating, Louise, but I'm so... Yeah. It's so awful that you have to go through all this and come on National Radio to try and educate others, especially professionals, about what's going on. Thanks, Louise. Thanks indeed.
No problem. And thank you, Joe.
It's you and the women who deserve all the thanks, including Sue.
Hi, Joe. My name is Sue. I'm just ringing about your show today on menopause. I am 53. I have been going through the menopause, I'd say, since I was 44, 45. I am now, for the last 4 years or more, post-menopausal. I have terrible hot flushes during the day. At night, they wake me up. Terrible mood swings. Get really angry very, very easily. Burst out crying very, very easily. Overweight. It's just been a nightmare, and it's just great to hear that you're talking about this live on the radio, and great to hear so many other women going through the same thing, because sometimes you feel it's just yourself.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Ceed SW plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Joe Duffy! Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And just to clarify how you use the WhatsApp, you use, when you open the WhatsApp, hopefully you will put this number in your contacts list, 087 1843 709. You record, you press record on your WhatsApp dial or screen, so to speak, and you record what you want to say, and then you send it to 087 1843 709. That's the only way we can use them. We can't use them if you dial 087 1843 709 and leave a message. We need you to send us a voice message, which is much easier done than even I'm explaining it. Sharon, good afternoon. Sorry for holding you, Sharon. You say you're now 50 and you've four children.
I've four children, yes. In the ages from 25 down to 8.
Okay. And when did the menopause start?
I was about 39. I'd had my third child, and she was born very premature. Okay. She was born at 24 weeks and 5 days. And after that, I never really was right after that. But I was told I had fibromyalgia. I was told I was depressed. Mm-hmm. It just went on and on. And until a friend of mine who's not medical at all said to me, you just can't keep going. It affected work. I ended up going part-time. It was a disaster. My mood swings, my sleep was gone. Mm-hmm. I conceived my third child at 41. And now he's perfect, but again, premature. Just went on and on until I went to get the coil in just to see what that relaxed the periods and slow it down a bit. And they found out I had precancer cells and I had to get a hysterectomy.
And
literally within weeks.
Okay, and the difference?
Oh, I don't know myself. I asked for a hysterectomy when I was about 43, but now I had it in 2019 and it's the best thing ever. I've never looked back. I'm 100%. Bar, you know, if I could get my sleep back, I would be 100%.
Mm-hmm. Well, Linda, so that in the main. But it's a hysterectomy that made a difference.
Absolutely. I've never looked back. I think every woman should be given a choice.
But in your case, you were told you'd have to have it fairly quickly because they found cancer cells.
Oh, I was operated on within a month.
Yeah.
And I was allowed to choose my date, you know, with having small children at home. And booked it for a month later. Yeah.
Okay, Sharon, I'm going to move on because of so many. Thank you indeed, Sharon, and thank you for your patience as well. Mary Kelly. Mary, you have a question for Dr. Lundy.
I do indeed. Thank you, Joe, for having me on. My question to Dr. Lundy is in regards to menopause and lichen sclerosis. I'm not sure if she is familiar with it, but... I heard another lady discussing about vaginal atrophy, and it is an autoimmune disease. And I have seen a consultant, and she did diagnose it for me. But it took, it actually started to come about, I think, when I was about 35. But all of my changes started happening at 35. I was like a lot of other people. I had no idea what perimenopause was. People weren't using it. And now I actually was living in the States at the time.
Okay.
And the gynecologist, I went to three of them. I knew my body was changing dramatically, quickly. Lots of things were happening. And at 35, they did, because I was checking all these other things, they found out that I had precancer cells. So they did a colon biopsy. And because in between all that, I had about three miscarriages in my 30s. So then, luckily enough, at 43, I had the most blessed, wonderful child I could ever ask for. But directly after that, I had a really difficult birth, and my pelvis got blown out, really bad inflammation issues. I couldn't move. There was so much going on in my body. And then within 2 years, I was already pretty much fully into menopause. My concern is, you know, obviously I have all those other symptoms, all of them, mm-hmm. that all those lovely ladies have been talking about. I'm 56 at the moment, and my quality of life has been just terrible, just really terrible. Went down, you know, I was told I need to go on, you know, depressants and stuff like that. So, but I've come out of it. Thank God. I did alternative research, and yoga has been my lifeline. I'm going to take that other lady's number. I believe I met a wonderful woman who helped me figure out how to meditate to at least get some sense of calm, some sense of structure in my life. But my big thing is that the consultant I went to, who diagnosed my lichen sclerosis and who was also dealing with me in my menopause, she told me that basically the only thing I could take, because what it is it breaks down, you know, your vaginal area.
Okay.
It literally, your body is eating itself.
Yeah.
And so the only thing that they could do, that she could recommend for me, was hydrocortisone, which is actually completely counterproductive for what you're actually trying to because it makes the skin even thinner. Your skin gets really thin, and you get these really terrible tears. And they started when I was 35, and then when I had the my baby at 43, I had another gynecologist tell me that when I gave birth to a child, that it would repair that tear, that big tear. Well, it never did, because I actually had way more tears afterwards.
Yeah,
and so with this, I'm not sure, because I'm still doing my research. I now have this wonderful lady's number. I will follow up with her. She's not taking appointments at the moment. But is she aware of any connection, something?
Deirdre, Dr. Lundy, do you want to quickly respond to that?
Sure. Well, in fairness now, lichen sclerosis is a slightly different thing. There's no question that as you go into the menopause, unfortunate women who've had lichen sclerosis or have a potential for it, it's an idiopathic condition of the skin. We don't know what causes it, but some people, it's an overreaction in their immune system, basically. And they get this awful, awful vulval irritation.
Mm-hmm.
And as you say, the lips of the vagina can literally start to kind of shrivel and shrink, and it becomes so painful. And the only treatment at the moment is copious amounts of corticosteroid. There's nothing else we have to fight it with, and that's just the limitations of the science at the moment. But menopause often exacerbates it. So a little bit of lichen sclerosis can become off the charts lichen sclerosis as you go through the menopause, no question about it.
And then with the copious amounts of hydrocortisone, because just like the HRT, because I was on the HRT for a short time, and then I was told that it wasn't good for me, like all the other people that you've already covered. But also, that is the problem, is there was a real serious difficulty in people, you know, saying that hydrocortisone. I mean, you're the first person who's actually said copious amounts.
Oh, yeah, as much as you need for as long as you need it, which is exactly what we never do with corticosteroids. It's the one condition where you don't have to be parsimonious with steroid cream. You actually have to lash it on.
Okay.
Because that is what I haven't been doing, because I was told otherwise. But thank you so much.
No,
I hope to be able to make an appointment with you as soon as possible.
Okay, thank you, Mary.
Joe, thank you very much for bringing this to light.
Well,
it's such an important issue.
You're bringing it to light, and other women as well. Thank you.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
No, Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
One of the many other women have contacted us.
Hello, how are you? I'm listening to the show there and I'm actually a little bit gobsmacked. I very recently, just a month ago, went through a radical hysterectomy, so the whole shebang, ovaries now removed, as part of a cancer prevention treatment. I had my procedure on a Wednesday and on the Friday, I had a HRT patch on. There was no qualms about it. Now, I'm in my 30s. I was a candidate for the patch. I had the patch within 2 days. And thankfully, look, I'm only a month on. But so far, so good. No side effects whatsoever. Everything feels good. I mean, I know I have a long road ahead of me, but I mean, I just don't understand. I'm actually amazed that people are having such difficulty getting the information and getting access to HRT. I'm actually astounded.
Lisa Meabury produced, the series producers Rebecca Meehan and Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eNiro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eNiro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
1850 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.